Part C.
I want to talk about experiential sanctification, that is, the sanctification that works in Christian life. And in theology, that's the screwiest subject you could ever hope to get into. You take men that stay around very long, like Quentin, myself, Al, Jeff, you run into this. The Methodist Church, for example, have a view on this that's very interesting. But experiential sanctification, people have a great deal. We might agree on the first one and disagree on the second one because of it. But experiential sanctification is almost all theologians are going to agree on this part, and that is that the church age believer, it means that the church age believer is walking by means of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is producing spirituality, and spirituality is experiential sanctification. Experiential sanctification is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, how that works, the mechanics is where the Christian church gets confused. Some people think you have to labor for that to occur. Some people think you have to live a standard of life in such a way that it produces that. The truth of the matter is, the source of spirituality or experiential sanctification is the indwelling Holy Spirit, and you understanding how to let Him do what He's been called to do, experientially sanctify you. And what you do is you walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You go like, well, what? You walk. Look, I could say, let's go down here and get a Coke at the grocery or store, or I could say further, let's go to a basketball game at UAB or something. We could do that. And then the question would be, well, how do we get there? I mean, what is the means for us to get there? And if I was concerned about whether or not we could all get there at a certain point, I'd need to have some kind of system of transportation. So how are we going to get there? We say, well, I'm going to walk by means of the Holy Spirit. Or we could say, I'm going to take the transit, or I'm going to ride in a car. It is a system. So when he says, on our part, walk, you see, the word walk is misleading in my mind. Because in English, walking, if I say, describe walking, wow. I mean, I think probably most of us will go physical with it in our minds. May not go spiritual when they say, well, look, let me walk you through the problem. You ever heard somebody say, well, let me just walk you through. Let me walk you through it again. Have you ever had a problem with your computer and you dialed up the number they gave you and had this guy in the other line that only God knows what he spoke? Right? And you kept going, you kept saying, could you walk me through that last point again slowly? See, they're walking. Now, when he uses walking by means of the Holy Spirit, he's using it more like, can you walk me through the problem? Rather than the physical walking, 5,280 feet. I'm going to go a mile. Instead of doing that, it's more that. And so peripateo is a word that's used to reach out into another area of understanding of walking. It means all the activities of your life. And it's kind of like, walk me through the problem. The way you walk through your life, the way you deal with your problems on everyday issues, and not just big events. See, most of us think this walking in the Spirit is for major events, and all the other events of my life, I need to handle it myself because I'm a big boy now. And I need to do big boy thinking. I need to do big boy stuff. But the truth of the matter is that that's not how the walking in the Spirit means. The walking in the Spirit, because the word peripateo means to include all the activities of your life and learn everything, even the things that you know that you could do on your own and breeze through it. You should walk in the Spirit because it's an inclusive walk. Peripateo means everything inside this life of yours. You are to engage the Holy Spirit in it. And the reason for it is you need to learn how to walk in the Spirit on those occasions when you wouldn't need to because you could handle it yourself. So that you can learn how to do it so that when the big game comes and you're into those things that you can't handle on your own, you've learned how to turn it over. Does that make sense? See, it's like practice pertaining to the big game. You know, you practice. So when the big game comes, you do it instinctively. Agreed? At least that's the way they taught us. So walking in the Spirit means it's inclusive. It's a present active imperative. Present tense means you need to do it all the time. And you really learn how to do it well by doing it under good conditions. In the times when you're not under stress, when you're in times, or you have a subject, or you have a job, or you have something in your life that doesn't require a lot of thought and a lot of sweat and a lot of tears, you learn to do it in those good times, so that when those tough times come, you instinctively got it there. Because now listen, walking in the Spirit doesn't mean that that's going to change your circumstances. It's going to change how you deal with it. Walking in the Spirit is internal, not external. And that's very important, because I was explaining that one time to a person. That person came back to me and said, "Look, that thing's not working." And I went, "Oh, well, you know," every once in a while I'll say, "Listen, if it's not working, you bring it back." Well, they started believing me. And so I had a person brought back and said, "It's not working." "It's not working." And I said, "Well, let's walk me through it. Let's go through it." And what they thought is if they walked in the Spirit, that would change their circumstances of life. That somehow that would change all that stuff out there. It won't. It will give you the inner strength to endure it. It will give you the inner strength to handle it. It will give you the ability to think it through. It will give you the power to stay in line with God, to fulfill His plan. There are a lot of stuff that goes inside, may not change anything on the outside. But it changes everything on the inside, which is important. But that's where you get the ability to persevere and to endure and say. So you need to be mindful, because listen, it's that inner structure that gives you the ability, that inner structure that gives you the ability to not fall apart. When that stressful stuff, and they'll come, because listen, God's going to send them. He's going to send them. He is going to send them to you to help you develop a relationship with Him. And one of the ways, you know, you go to the gym, and what do? They put you under stress, and then they tell you, no pain, no gain. That don't make any sense if they don't put stress on you. It's when you go like, "I can't do it one more, I can't do it one more, I can't do it. Give me one more, give me one more, give me one more." See? I tell you to get that. And they go like, "Listen, you're not going to develop. You're not going to develop your muscles if you don't put stress on them." And that's what I mean by stress. I'm not asking you to hurt yourself. I'm asking you to take your muscles to stress, because they develop. That's true spiritually. He's not going to give you more than you can bear. He's not going to put more weight on you than you can handle, 1 Corinthians 10:13, but He's going to give you enough to develop your soul. He's going to give you enough to develop your relationship with Him. And when you walk in the Spirit, it may not change any of the gym, change the ability to be able to make it through it, so that you can build character, develop spiritually, just like Paul says in Romans, when he talks about it in Romans, the 5th chapter. So experientially, we call it, when we talk about the mechanics of it, like I just did, we call it experiential positional truth. You have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is what produces spirituality. Walking in Spirit is your responsibility by command. And it's for always. You do it always. Remember, you want to do it when you know you could do it yourself. I could handle this. I can do it myself. You know that little 3-year-old? I can do it myself. No, you can't. I can do it by myself. Aren't you glad they only go through it 1 year? Huh? Well, we got one right now, and the whole family is praying, "Oh God, help us get through this year." And what's wonderful, they can be so wonderful one moment, and then just a child of hell the next. You go, how does that happen? How can that happen? And then you go look in a mirror, and you go like, There it is. That's how that thing works. It's called the sin nature. But I'm thankful for my family. It only lasts a year. Or that's what we're praying. We're praying that it's just a year. So we're all walking in the Spirit. Every time the three-year-old comes around, we all immediately get in the Spirit. Because as soon as we see him, we know it's going to be flesh. It teaches that the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit is the absolute source of spirituality of every church-age believer. That's the word cab, church-age believer, on your paper. In Galatians 5, 22, 23, it says, in 16, if you walk in the Spirit, 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit. You know what's interesting about, because I'm doing a study on that on Wednesday night, I'm doing the fruit of the Spirit. I got to thinking about this the other day. You know, what do you call the fruit of that tree? You know, that's not nine different types of fruit. There's a different flavor in it. It's like, you know, apples. You got one, and the apple's an apple, but you got different flavors in an apple. You know, like me, I like galas. When I was a kid growing up, I wanted to find those five little humps on the bottom of that baby, and that was called a delicious. And I looked for those five little bumps on the bottom of it. And I went, that's the one I want right there as a little kid. And I got to thinking about this the other day because I've always thought of that like nine fruit. But that's a one fruit tree that has nine different flavors. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I saw that this year when I taught that because of the predicate nominative. The predicate nominative in the Greek says that the fruit is of the Holy Spirit. And so if you was going to call that a tree, you'd have to call that a Holy Spirit tree, wouldn't you? Well, I don't know. This week we're going to do kindness. So be sure to be here. Walking in the flesh, like in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, don't walk in the flesh. Walking in the flesh, the sin nature, and committing personal sin, that does not change the church age believer's position in Christ. But it does affect his walk by means of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, this is so important. It doesn't affect your position in Christ, but it does affect your position in the Holy Spirit. It affects it. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to leave you, but you're out of fellowship with Him. He's out of control. He is not able to produce in you what He's been sent to produce, spirituality. But a lot of people say that if you commit sin, you lose your position in Christ. That's not true. It does affect your relationship with the Holy Spirit who's indwelling you, but it doesn't affect your position in Christ. And that's important. You know that. It's important that you know that from a doctrinal standpoint. Ephesians 4:30 says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says you can quench the Holy Spirit. But John 14:16 says He will never leave you. You might leave Him, but He never leaves you. That's very important. That's positional truth. He is in you, and he is in you forever. John 14, 16. So walking in the Spirit is part of that experiential sanctification. The other part of experiential sanctification is walking by faith. Now look, walking by faith, we call it the faith cycle around here. Walking by faith versus walking by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, if you says walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Now, again, it's the same word, peripateo, with the same concept of walking. We're not talking about physical, we're talking about understanding. Again, we're talking about our life. We're talking about how important faith is to our life. Faith deals with what I believe. What do I believe? Listen, what do I believe about myself in Christ? I said today, you have a whole closet. You've been clothed with Christ. You have a whole wardrobe of who you are. When you get to telling yourself, well, I'm this and I'm that, you need to go to the wardrobe and look in there and see who you are in Christ. Put those clothes on and be that person. I mean, that's how that thing works. But listen, what you believe, if you walk by sight, you're walking by worldly thinking. And when your mind gets there, you know, hey, I'm out of bounds. I'm not walking. I'm walking by sight. I'm not walking by faith. Because faith takes me to the wardrobe. Faith takes me to the Word of God. Listen, if you walk by sight, you can always tell it because you're out in the tules. You're all over the place. You're like a basketball out of control. You're all over the place. When you walk by faith, you are in the will of God. You are walking according to the Word and the will of God. And let me tell you, that's the sweet place to be. You know, in baseball, they had a sweet part of the bat. When you hit that, I don't care who you were, when you hit that, you didn't even have to be a baseball player. When you hit that sweet spot, there was a feeling about hitting a ball when you hit a soft spot, what was called the sweet spot. I mean, when you hit it, you went, I might play baseball. And let me tell you, that's walking by faith. Walking by faith. Listen, if you walk by sight, it doesn't change your position in Christ. It doesn't change your position in Christ. But it affects our being transformed, but it does affect our being transformed by the will of God in conformity to Christ. It does affect it. You can walk in the flesh. It doesn't affect your position in Christ, but it does affect your relation with the Holy Spirit. You can walk by sight. It doesn't affect your relation. It doesn't affect your position in Christ, but it does affect the transformation of your life by the will of God to be conformed to the person of Jesus Christ. It does affect that. And that's called, mechanically, that's called experiential sanctification. Breaking it down, how it works through the walking of the Spirit and walking by faith is called experiential positional truth. And finally, today, ultimate sanctification. This is the church age believing in the eternal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just think, the moment you die, and as a believer, it's going to be a phenomenal thing. Don't you ever fear death. Don't you ever fear death. Don't ever fear death. I mean, it's stepping from something good into something better. It's stepping from something good into something better. And we call it ultimate sanctification. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called it sanctify entirely. Ephesians 5:26 and 27, when he's speaking on marriage and the church, he comes back and he reminds you the same principle in verse 27. In 2 Thessalonians 1:10, it says, when he comes to be glorified with his saints on that day. We call this ultimate positional truth. The mechanics. Here's the mechanics: to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Here's the mechanics. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you will be with me always. And that's the name of the game, John 14. That's the mechanics. And how do I get there? You got to believe that Jesus died for your sins and was buried and raised from the dead. That's called the gospel. You believe it, you're in. Why? Because my name. Listen, the moment at the foot of the cross, my name got written with the book of the throne. That's why. That's why. And why I go to heaven is because Jesus prepared the way. Jesus said early, I am the way, the truth, and the I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. What a wonderful thing that is. I'll tell you, the most wonderful thing in this whole wide world is to do a funeral of a believer. It's such an honor. I find myself so blessed. It is the greatest ministry of any of my ministry, is to stand and be able to speak on behalf of God, on behalf of believers who have died to His will. It is a wonderful ministry to my soul. It's just, I know for other people they go like, but I mean, to be able to salute the Father when another one is promoted, to be that person, to go like, from my hands to yours, it is such a joy. I mean, it is an honor. It's an honor. And that's ultimate sanctification. It means that the church age believer mechanically can never be separated in time and eternity from Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, angels or principalities, things present or things to come, nor powers, heights or depths, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful thing. Let me conclude by giving you a quote from Basic Theology by Ryrie on page 630 when he says, sanctification, it is God setting the believer apart for himself, positionally at salvation, progressively or experientially throughout life, and ultimately when the believer arrives in the presence, in his presence in heaven. Ryrie put it right on the money. He put it as best he could mechanically. Well, positional truth. Positional truth. What a wonderful doctrine. You need to read that. And for me, the message for me to you today is that you have a wardrobe. There are 20 garments in there. You have been clothed with Christ. Be mindful of those 20. Pay attention to them. Use that closet. That is your identity in Christ in this world. Don't let anybody tell you you're somebody who you're not. This is who you are. Let me tell you, those 20 clothes right there, those 20 garments, you ought to have them worn out by the time you leave here. Should be nothing new. Look for a whole new set of garments. Let us pray. Rick Broadhead, we're so glad to have you home, my friend, if you'll dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Father, I thank you for this message, teaching us what you have for us, for the grace you provided it. position that we can rest in, knowing that it's there because of who and what you are. Thank you for the experiential that we can practice. We can practice your grace each and every day. Thank you for the eternal that we can look forward to. I know that one day we'll be able to see you face to face.